Petso Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Idaho Central Credit Union, home of the no-fee Freedom Mortgage. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station.
On right now, but we're going to go live because we're going to...
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KITO. And if you do prefer email, that's fine. It's Dave at... PetsoFinancial.net. Please do join us. There's an awful lot going on out there, I know, and hopefully you have some questions, and I'd love to dialogue with you. You know, I got this letter a few days ago, and I get tax stuff all the time. I just can't even imagine it, you know, with different businesses that I'm involved in and investments, and as well as payroll, all these things. So you can imagine I get quite a few letters from various states and things like that. Illinois is terrible. They really are. I unfortunately have some investments in Illinois. And so thank goodness those are wrapping up so I don't have to deal with those thieving boys for long. But California takes the cake. You can't own anything in California because they just assume it's theirs. Now, you think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. This is the thought process of many state governments and people who work in taxes. It's not your money. It's theirs. And they're going to let you keep some if they deem it okay. But in their mind, it's theirs. I mean, the numbers they come up with and what happens. But anyway, I have spent so much in accounting fees for these various states for what amount to peanuts, right? You owe us $60. You owe us $140. And it costs, and of course, they've never run the numbers. There's absolutely no way they run the numbers. You know, I have an inch thick tax return. That's not possible to run the numbers. They don't. They just make it up. And what is a person to do? Well, you might say, you know, it's just an accounting thing, you know, poor little rich guy, right? You know, all that stuff. I understand, right? I'll get over it. You know, you just pay the bills and you roll on. Justice doesn't have to happen every day, and it doesn't. But the idea that they can simply go in and say, you know what? We're not satisfied at all. We think you owe us, in this case, $1,702.70. Now, I can't tell you how many times the various pieces of paper have been sent to them, how many hours my accountant has spent on this, how many bills I've had to pay, how many checks I've written to California for various made-up amounts of money. And this is the first letter I've gotten. But now I can't trade my account. Now, so get this. They literally, I didn't know you could do this. I just really didn't. I've been in this industry for 35 years, and I've never heard of this from any of my clients. They literally went into my personal brokerage account and for whatever reason, they are forcing the brokerage account, not my bank. This is my stock brokerage account, right? Holds all my securities to send them a check in 60 days. And in the meantime, my account's frozen. I joke not. Now, I can liquidate things, but I can't buy things for fear that the $1,700 that I owe them might be taken away, might be liquidated, and I might run off. I mean, who thinks like this? I mean, this is goose-stepping Nazi stuff. It's just made up. It is. It's totally fine. It's their money. Just go grab it. Really? No warning, no due process, no nothing, just take it. Nobody thinks like that. Except the super liberal. It's my money anyway. I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what's right. But I don't owe that money. That's what you say, and we don't care. Prove it. I have been. We have. For years we've proven that. You've agreed that's not. Oh, well, mistakes happen. This isn't a mistake. It's not a mistake to think you can go into somebody's account and just take money out is an arrogance off the chart. I became a bigger fan yesterday of Donald Trump's approach of getting government out of my face. I became more determined to never do business in California. Never. If an investment opportunity came along in California, be like, well, where is this investment located? California. Done. Well, it's got a really high return. Don't care. I can't deal with California. They just take what they want. They just make up numbers. And if they don't like what you do, apparently, they just take it out of an account somewhere. No due process. Astounding. Absolutely astounding to me. I mean, it's, obviously, all of us can think, wow, what could that lead to? I mean, all of the things that can circle out to and encompass in our life is like, wow. You mean the government, the IRS can do? Yeah. Remember Lois Lerner, I think it was her name? The criminal IRS agent, person, director, that just nothing happened to her. Because, you know, she was an Obama guy. So it's okay. It's all right. It's all right because, man, it's a leftist. They're smarter than everybody else. They know what they're doing. They govern better. You know, you don't know what you're doing. It's just good to kind of have that those people that they take money when they need it, you know, because they're good. They think about things right. They say things well. They're politically correct. Unlike you. You despicable you. Incredible. Anyway, sorry, I'm ranting. Be careful out there. I still can't believe this. I'm in shock. Absolutely in shock. All I was trying to do was do a little trade. That's it. Try to buy a little something. Well, we have a block on your account. What? I guess I should. Well, even the letter doesn't say that. But anyway, there you have it. Our government. How government unchecked just gets more government until we reach a point of government takeover in the United States of America. No due process. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Perhaps you've had something like that in your life. Love to talk about it. 580-KIDO. And of course, the markets, NASDAQ 6,000. Wow. I know, what goes up must come down, blah, blah, blah. Thousands of points later, you know what? Maybe they'll be right. Maybe we'll get a 10% correction or something. It still doesn't make them right. Telling you to stay out of the market, as so many people have, since the Dow was less than 10,000, when we have a normal natural correction of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 points, doesn't make them right. They're just plain wrong. And they sell stuff into that fear. 580-KIDO, we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Please do join us, if you would, at 580-KIDO in this beautiful weekend. My goodness gracious. I'm going to slip out of here a little bit early today, really just kind of reversing. We usually have the half-hour recording from when I'm on last week with Kevin Miller on Monday mornings. And we're just going to play that in about 9:30 or so at the end of today's program. So please do join us. Our number 580-KIDO or Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I know the markets are good and life is good, but we would love to hear from you, and I'm sure there are questions out there. Hey, I ran into a couple little tidbits here this past week that I thought were very interesting, things that would be helpful. There's a program out called ABLE, A-B-L-E, and it's I'm not sure what the acronym stands for, but it's something along the lines of Americans for a Better Life Experience or something like that. But it's for disabled. You know, it's a very inexpensive special needs trust situation. So, yes, for those of you that are involved in situations like that and are concerned because, you can't leave your money into a trust for, let's say a child who is receiving Social Security without messing that up, right? They're no longer considered on Social Security, so you can't leave money for them. This allows people to leave a pretty good chunk of money and build it up on a tax-free basis so that when something happens, when you pass on, it is allowed to be there and not affect Social Security. You heard that right. This is a new thing. I think there's about 12 states that have it now. But here's the cool thing. Idaho doesn't, but it doesn't matter. You can get it through any of those states. There are no boundaries in this plan for you have to get Idaho's plan or you have to get Wisconsin's plan or whatever it is. You can get any plan, whichever one you like the best, from any state. So it's literally available to Idahoans now. There aren't any tax breaks to put the money in, but there is no taxability of it. As it grows, look at it as A-B-L-E, A-B-L-E. Just Google it. And for those of you who are in that circumstance, obviously we talk to people that are, and the idea that we now have something we can look into that has little or no cost to enable families to create something for those folks in need, it's a big deal. It's a really, really big deal. A-B-L-E, ABLE. So look that up if you have a disability. I wanted to share that with you. And also the 529 this year just passed. The 529 contribution amount, that's the education for the state of Idaho. In other words, where can you get your contribution doubled? You know, it's basically $4,000 per person, per donee, right? $8,000 per couple is now double that, 8 and 16 per donee. A big deal. Just passed. So that's now available, state of Idaho. You can write it off your taxes up to $8,000 per person, $16,000 for married filing jointly per household. You can write that off. Amazing. Nice little benefit. So two big things that just changed here that I, at least for me, ABLE, ABLE, to me, is just a huge, that's going to be a huge thing for families with disabled children. It's just going to be huge. I'm so pleased that they have something to turn to now that isn't complex, expensive, or just not doable. It is. You have to get the money in over time, as I understand, but it's certainly worth looking into, and I would guess many people are going to start using this as an outlet to have some money, some cash for the disabled folks and their family. All right, once again, NASDAQ at 6,000. What a fantastic week this has been, in spite of all the doom and gloom that there is. So what's really going on out there? That's what we're getting at too, isn't it? Right? It's not the noise of the day-to-day news flow. What's really happening? Open our eyes. See. Is the economy expanding? Is government leaving our face? Maybe not tomorrow, but it's coming, right? You see what I mean? The trajectory is better. Market's been doing very well, and I don't think for no reason at all. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Please do give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. And please do give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KITO. You know, I've never done an entire, show with no calls. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, I know you're there. I know people are listening. I know, actually, there's thousands of people listening. Somebody's got to have a question. Get this ball rolling. Get us all thinking, right? Like we all like to do and contemplate things. That's what talk radio is, isn't it? It's just this interaction of thought, right? And that's what is missing so much. So much. It really is. You stop thinking about it, or you start thinking about it, and you realize there's so little common sense out there. In any world, there's hardly any common sense. And even people with no common sense agree that there's no common sense. Because, you know, as we talk all the time, we all think that it's really the other guy that has the issues, right? Right? You know, 76% of the drivers are better than average, and 94% of the college professors think that they're better than average college professors. Smarter we are, the harder it is. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, and when we think about things like that, you realize also how incredible it is that we can never figure anything out. Because common sense is not so common. It's not. It's just not. So it's a tough thing. It's a very hard thing for us to go day to day and get all of the, if you will, data that comes at us and think of it in any kind of a rational way. Okay, our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for answering the call. Jim?
Yes, good morning.
Hold on. For some reason, we're all wobbly here. Hold on.
Okay. Do you hear me?
I wonder if it's you.
It's probably me. I'm driving down from Cascade.
Okay. I think we got you, so go right ahead.
My question is,
Jim, I'm going to put you on hold. You get yourself to where you got a few more bars, okay? I'm just going to put you on hold, and then we'll come back to you, okay? All right. I can't hear you at all. So, all right. Give us a call back, would you please? All right, and I see Mike's going to be up on the board here in a minute, so we'll grab Mike. Here we go. Let's go to Mike. Mike in Meridian. Mike, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I just turned you on. You were in the middle of telling us about your experience with your brokerage account, apparently, out of California.
Yeah, it's not even in California. That's what's weird. But anyway, yeah. I mean, the brokerage, But yes.
Well, I tuned in and you were in the middle of it, so I don't know if you had told the audience who they were.
Well, it's not. It's the state of California that has forced my brokerage company to.
The state of California initiated this whole problem?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I missed the first part. And what caused that to take? Yeah. Cause them to initiate it?
They say I owe taxes, which they have said for years. This goes on and on and on. Okay, so this has gone on for back and forth, okay? I've got an inch thick. I've got one little investment, literally, very little, in California, but they deem that it's something they should tax, unlike most states. But California says
$1,700, the total over the years, Dave?
3 years, $1,700. But they never told me I owe it. Every time my accountant calls back and says, no, we'll get that cleared up. We'll get that cleared up. And this has gone on for years. And then it pops back up. It's kind of like it doesn't ever clear up. And then it goes back. And so we've been dealing with this. And then all of a sudden, they just, without warning, decided to attach a brokerage account, which now I can't trade on. So it's very until that $1,700 comes out, which is a 60-day period of time. So without any due process, bam, they just decide that they're going to attach not a bank account, a brokerage account of all weird things. In my mind, that's weird.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, again, I tuned in right in the middle of what would you
say? Well, I just, my point there is, again, we have got to understand that this is a big deal. It's not just a big deal because it happens once in a while to somebody, and it's not a mistake. It's an attitude.
Right.
This isn't a mistake. They make the mistake all the time. You know, I understand that. And that's why you send more letters. You go, God, you guys, really? Don't you remember call number 53 on this date? You gave us this number, and you said it was all good. Oh, yeah, our bad. It's in the system. No, it's an attitude when you go out without any warning, and you simply attach somebody's brokerage account, and they can't trade anymore. It's bizarre to me, and that's the attitude of big government, and it is the attitude of big government. And for me, it's just, again, I feel like, you know, wow, we were saved in November. America woke up. They woke up and said, this is too much when everybody is just...
Enough of it woke up, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, enough of it did wake up to say we cannot have more and more government intrusion in our lives. It doesn't just slow down the economy. It does that, yes. It doesn't just make you pay more taxes. It doesn't just make less jobs available in the world. It doesn't just lower your standard of living. All these things are really important. But
another
bottom line, it takes away your freedom.
Exactly. That's another example that's going to initiate here in Boise. This compost program that we've got to have another can now, throw our scraps, you know, our dinner scraps in there only.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I mean, we have no. Yes.
I know.
Well, we could go on and on.
It's crazy. I know, but hey, it's
good to be doing that. So I'll let you get on with your show.
I appreciate it, Mike, and I appreciate you calling, though. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye now. Hey, are we still at 5850? That's correct. Okay, thank you. All right. Sorry, little timing thing. We're supposed to do that off air, I know, and all that stuff, but can't. So have to put up with us not being totally professional here. All right, we've got the Dow near record highs. We've got the NASDAQ rolling all the way back. And everybody's going to talk about the comparisons, as we were saying earlier. But here's the thing. Again, when we talk about that whole common sense thing, how can the market be so high? What goes up must come down. I mean, people, yeah, okay, whatever. But you see, if we're living better, if the world is growing, that's the way it is. That's a fact. It's a fact. And when we have these facts, you have to simply also say, I don't know why the market's at all-time highs. I don't know. Except we have all-time high earnings, all-time high amounts of cash, all-time high dividends paid out to stockholders. All-time highs everywhere you look. Let's go to George real quick. If we don't have time, we'll grab him on the other side. George, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir. And if we don't have enough time, you've got a minute and a half left in this hour.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, I think what you've been talking about here with the situation in California, as nearly as I can tell, this is an attitude that started somewhere back in the late 1800s of resentment against Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan and Carnegie and people like that, of resentment against them for having money. And it's been, I think liberals have been working on this attitude in the United States for over 100 years to work up this resentment against people who have money. Have you ever read Walter Lord's little popular history, the Good Times?
No, I've not. I've not heard of it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's. I think I got that name right. I had it a while ago, and it slipped out of my head. I'm getting old. But anyway,
shoot me an email if you do. Okay.
Yeah, he has a chapter in there called The Golden Circus, and it was about that. So many people were getting so rich that they had to think up silly ways of spending it, like having parties on horses where they would serve you and you'd circulate around on the horses and things like that. And the press was always right there. And the common people, I mean, just the working man, they thought it was just a hilarious fun. And so that's why they called it the Golden Circus. Was it these rich people trying to spend off their money were just a great sideshow for everybody, and they'd laugh. I gave everybody something to laugh at and talk about. But
it is. Hey, George, hang on just 1 second. We've got to take a break here for Fox News, okay? Hang on just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to hour number two of Money Matters. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. We are not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, sell, sell at all, at all. We want long-term thinking. We don't need to be focusing on short-term noise. We need to get away from that, right? We've got to somehow get out of this sickening fog of noise. It's just so murky, so cloudy, and we often just think about this and say, "Oh yeah, there he goes again, talking about all the money managers that are wrong and blah blah blah." Like he's just right. No, that's not at all what we're talking about. When we listen to the doomsday crowd, we don't invest, and we miss it. We buy things like a lump of a brick. Pretty brick, but it's a lump. Oh, God, what do you got in your safe? I don't know, washed up actor. But, gosh, I want to get financial advice from you, game show host. Seller of shiny object on my knee. Wow. God. It's just, it's all this. It goes on. And Peter Schiff and all these people. Just, well, what do you think today, Peter? All right, let me push reel number one. Reel number one. Over and over and over and over. The end of the world is coming. Why? Boom, 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 boom. Over and over. Decade after decade. That's what happens if we get caught up in that. Jeff, hang just for a second, will you? I want to get to your call here real quick. But this is an important point. We just get caught up in all this news, and we miss it. It's such a fog of noise. And we need to pull back and use our common sense whenever possible. Right? Right? It's like we've been talking about, right, that you can't have the same asset allocation program for over 10 years. You can't put 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds in a zero interest rate world and think that's going to work. That's common sense. But what happens when you run a Monte Carlo simulation of how much money you can take out and how your asset allocation ought to be? 60% stocks, 40% bonds, and you can take out 4%. No, you can't. Your grandmother knew that because she could understand the very simple basics. What is the bond interest rate? 2. And I'm supposed to take out 4. Well, yeah, but grandma, but you got 60% over here. And what's that thing about inflation? About 3% a year. Wait a minute. So I'm supposed to take out 4. I'm only earning 2 with 40% of my money. And I'm supposed to grow how much money I'm supposed to take. Excuse me. I don't think this is going to work. Now, still, this is what plays for our thought leaders. Well, you know, it's asset allocation. No, it's complicated, okay? It's really complicated. That's why I've got an MBA and stuff. And so, you know, I'm telling you, It's 40-60-40, because the best theory is that. Why is it the best theory? Well, because interest rates used to be higher, and it might work. But excuse me, professor, academia, I know you've gotten all the charts and stuff, but with interest rates at 2, how does this work? Well, and we go on in the cycle. It's unbelievable. And then we have no common sense. It's very important that we do. Just stop and say, wait a minute. If we have the highest corporate profits, highest dividends, best balance sheets, we're in an earnings season that looks like the best since 2011. So far it is. Then why do we always ask the question, how can stocks be so high? Duh. Because corporations are the market and their earnings are incredible. We complicate so much instead of asking simple questions. Why? Because they're doing so well. Who wouldn't want to own that? And that's what I'm saying. Let's get away from that. Get away from the day-to-day minutiae and into a common sense type approach. Let's go ahead and go to the phones real quick here. Jeff, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Dave, for taking my call.
You bet.
Kind of building on what you were just talking about, the asset allocation.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I were both federal employees, can retire in 3 years. And so naturally, we utilize the TSP. And in the TSP, they have a target retirement fund that we're both involved in. It's kind of like where you just put your investment on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do that with a large mutual fund, Roth IRA target funds. Now, do you think that's a wise choice? I know like in the TSP, your choices are limited.
Very limited, yeah.
Yeah, whereas with the large mutual fund target fund, they also include a international bond fund in there,
mm-hmm.
albeit a small exposure to international bond funds. Now, when we retire, we're not going to access that money. We'd like it to grow more. Perhaps you can even throw in the argument about having an active, someone actively doing that for you as opposed to a target fund.
Mm-hmm.
Your words on that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm really tickled you brought it up. I'm going to start with these things are one of the best inventions for people that just absolutely don't know what they're doing. I mean, they just don't, can't, and won't. No, they won't, because everybody can do this. It's just not that hard, okay? Understanding all of the markets and what's going on to the level that, say, I do, that is hard. That's a lot of work. It's a life worth of work. It is hard. But to understand the basics of investing and buying stocks and putting them away is not all that difficult. It's a choice people make that's not important enough to them that they don't want to study it. So at this point, I think these are fantastic. Here's the problem, though, okay? So let me just first of all say they're great. If you don't know what you're doing, pick one. But what it tends to do, not tends to, it does do, is it's trying to target your retirement date as if that was the date you are going to withdraw all of your money and put it under the mattress. But that's a change date, not an end date. So they end up with being way too conservative, especially in a zero interest rate world, okay? You end up with too many bonds as you approach retirement. Way too many. So I think they're great. You're like 30 years old and you pick a however far out that is, right? They have a 2060 or 2070 fund, whatever it is, right? 2050. You just pick the longest dated one, and that's what you want, okay? That's great because that's going to have you all in stocks and diversified and rebalance that all the time, right? So those funds, in my mind, are perfect for that. But when we get even within 15 years of retirement, they start dialing in so many bonds in a zero interest world, I hate them. So in your case, I'd steer away. It sounds like you know enough about your TSP and what you're doing, and just get in the C fund, the S fund, throw a little in the I, and I would go very little there. And in your Roth IRA, I would focus on more international to make up for the loss on the other side, because an international index is my least favorite index, okay?
Yeah.
The C is the S&P 500, and the S is the Russell 2000. You can get away with that in the U.S. because of it being a more efficient market, but international is not, and I'd rather you do more international on the Roth side to balance you correctly where you can have an active manager.
Now, your suggestion was concentrate on the equities. It didn't seem like you were big fans of the bonds exposure.
Jeff, at this time, that's correct, because we're looking at, A, you told me two things.
Yes.
Okay, now one thing I didn't ask and need to is how far till retirement?
Well, I can retire in 3 years, or I can continue on and keep working. I guess it depends how my wife and I attitude is at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do retire in 3 years, we won't touch that money.
That's right.
We'll just try to allow it to compound. Because I look at these scales where you put on a safe withdrawal rate,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times they say you'll run out of money in 30 years unless you lower the percentage you want to withdraw.
Correct. And that's why I think when you get to that point, certainly when you start turning it into income or even contemplating, like soon we may be wanting to do that, you need to be, this is where you really need to get serious and you need to find somebody, or you need to seriously do a lot of study and figure this out. Because going in a static asset allocation model, as I was talking about before, that says 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds, will not work. I don't care how many calculations you run in a zero interest world. It does not work. It will not work. And I know you don't have to think about this a long time, but 40% of your money lower than the draw rate is not going to work. You're expecting way too much from the 60% in stocks, and they won't deliver. And so you cannot do that. So we have to have a different model. It doesn't mean you can't get your 4.5%, even 5%, in my opinion, out. You can't. And so you can do that with cost of living adjustments, but that's another show. That's a lengthy discussion. You hit on it right there. I'm not planning to use this money. Tells me that this is going to grow a long time. Then why do I want 2% bonds that are earning less than inflation? What I've never met somebody that said, you know, we're going to grow this money way slower than the rate of inflation so that when we need it, if we do for healthcare, there won't be enough. Or I want to make sure my kids inherit nothing. Or less than what I have right now because of inflation. Look, all of our lives, if you're nearing retirement, I'm going to say basically you're in the same ballpark in your 50s as I am. And for my lifetime, the U.S. dollar, even though it's been low inflation, has declined by 70% in my lifetime. Putting it in cash determines, or cash-like, or low interest rates, means that I'm going to end up with less money every year. And we forget in a low interest rate, a low inflation environment, but it's like a cancer that's growing in your body. If you do not address it, it will kill you. It's just not today. Just not today. And that's inflation over the long run. It kills you. Just not today.
Well, that makes sense to me, what you just said.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We want to think about these things. Common sense. Think it through. To everybody, and it's human nature, Jeff, it's all of our nature, that we want to go to a formula that tells me how much money I can take out in retirement. And we simply have to ask ourselves once in a while, with the ground conditions the way they are, will this work? And if the answer is, I don't think so, I think you need to explore further. And maybe the model itself is broken. And what we've been doing for over 20 years, and it's not to sell you on what we do, it's just to tell you. It's just look at the ground conditions, and you make decisions about what you sell. You don't just automatically go into this formula that says 60% stocks, 40% bonds, and then you sell down both every year. You should sell for income needs what is up in value or what is down the least. Not the same across the board. You want to destroy your capital, then make sure you sell into a down market. That'll make it go away really fast, and it can never come back, even after a normal, certain to occur, over and over again all the days of our lives, correction, which is what markets do. We act like it's abnormal. Market behavior of going down in prices once in a while is 100% normal, and it's about time we acted like it's a normal thing. Jeff, thank you.
I appreciate your advice and time.
You got it. Thank you, and I appreciate your question. Good one.
Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, you do the same. I sure will.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. We're going to have one segment left before we do our normal recording, which is last Monday with Kevin Miller. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. If you have a question, please do give us a call. We've got about 5 minutes left in today's live program. Hope you'll stick around for Kevin Miller and I in the last 30 minutes. All right, we've been talking about life cycle funds, and I hope that that was clear for people. It's an okay choice if you don't know what you're doing. But what I'm saying is let's dial in a little longer term to our actual retirement. Because remember, retirement is not an end point. Here's my bag of cash. I'm putting it under the bed and spending it the rest of my life. It's a change point. All we're doing is changing it now from accumulation to income-oriented. And so many people without... They don't mean to do this, and they're not trying to. It's not that they want to live less. They're just afraid to spend their capital. And so without understanding how this mountain of money is going to move around in price, but generate a consistent and growing value, people are very, very nervous to pull money. And I understand that. That is, there's no question. No question. Now, so life cycles give us a chance, though, to rebalance and not have to be, you know, quotes, experts on finance. Although I find that the most dangerous experts are the smartest guy in the coffee break room at any business. Because they know more than you doesn't make them qualified. You see what I'm saying? It's not that some of them aren't, but be careful, okay? Somebody that knows a little bit more about football than me doesn't exactly qualify to be the head coach. I don't know much, okay? I really don't. It was a big deal. We had the NFL draft last week. Honestly, I'm blown away that people care. That's how little I care about the draft. I'll watch the Super Bowl, but that's, you know, I don't care about the draft. And so for me, these are areas I don't care about. Other people don't care about finances as much, okay? So you put your money into these programs, these life cycle funds, and that's great. But let's dial it back so we own enough stocks, and we do have to have enough common sense to say, what are the ground conditions? What should I have? Because what you're going to do is deliver a bag of cash that's too small. Because you're putting money in bonds at a 2% interest rate environment, okay? That's not going to work. And then when you hit retirement, how are you going to take money out? And this is where the dynamic is hard. Well, I've got, you know, $500,000 in 401k. Congratulations. Good job. I don't think we should take any money. Why not? If you could take an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month and enjoy a couple $1,000s a month, and you could... Help your grandchildren through a semester of school. You can take a trip. You can take a family trip. You can go see some people. All the things that would enhance life. Even a missionary. You just want to you go out and bless them that with by them not having to raise money. You're just like here's all you need. All those things because you know it's okay. It's got some planning behind it. It's so freeing. Think about that. Difference between, I don't know if I got any money I can spend, to I do know, and I can really enjoy some things, and I can even really enjoy giving some of that away. It's a neat dynamic. Neat dynamic. So we don't want to go into fear. I don't know. I don't want to spend my capital. We want to understand it better. All right? So we'll. I'm undoubtedly, we've been talking for 30 years about income planning and retirement. We'll keep doing it. All right? So if you have questions on that, write them down for next week. We'll talk next week about it. Okay? We're running out of time here. But Tina in Boise asks this question. What do we do about government intrusion. Thank you for the question. What do you do to protect yourself? We got to elect the right people. We got to elect the right people, people that stand for freedom, allowing you to make decisions. This isn't a little thing. This is everything. Everything to me is a simple thing. Do you believe I should have more freedom? Or do you believe you're going to try to solve all my problems? I don't want my problems solved. I just want you to get out of my way. I don't want you to tell me what I can and can't do as long as I'm not bothering anybody else. I don't want you to confiscate all my money. I want due process when you do. To me, it's simple. We need to pay attention. What is a call for freedom? What is a call for moral, the moral right that I have as an individual to live my life the way I want to do? That you're not smarter than me. I can handle it on my own. Enjoy this great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
And blessed to be a part of your day, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KITO. We're joined by Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, and good to have you with us.
It's always good to be here, Kevin, always.
So your thoughts on the president's first 100 days?
Obviously, there were some hiccups, but I think that's to be expected, and I think people are not very patient about the difficulty of transitioning. I don't think the Obama administration helped in the transition. Obviously, the press made more of every little thing than would even be imaginable. And at the same time, I think that the fact that we changed deregulation in November of last year, certainly in the first 100 days, the fact that we are now deregulating this country instead of more regulations automatically happening at every turn, because the Obama administration believed that the best answer to everything was more government, was a few academics making decisions for people that basically are a pinhead, so they need to make decisions for us. And that changed a lot. And, Kevin, that alone is going to be a monstrous thing going forward where businesses know what the rules are. They aren't going to get more onerous. They may even get less. That's a major sea change that is starting to really show up in entrepreneurial and animal spirits that you and I talked about. If we can get tax reform on top of that, repatriation, this thing could really get rolling. And I am very, very excited about that part. And second of all, I think the major accomplishment would be on the foreign front. Our relations around the world are changing dramatically. There is a new sheriff in town, and I think that's one of the great achievements of this first 100 days, is that we now have discussions, real discussions going on with the Chinese and North Korea. We're talking to the Russians about what's going on in Syria. We're not just figuring out how to retreat all over the world. And so I think it's a big deal, Kevin. I think those are two major accomplishments.
By the way, you kind of threw me off because, you know, sometimes you straggle a little.
I straggle.
You know, you're talking to your friends, the bougie at Channel 7. And let me, without further ado, to announce our 2017 Girls with Guns winner. Ava and Braylon Broen won with 39% of the vote. By the way, over 6 million votes cast.
Seriously, 6 million.
Last year, we had, what was it, over 400,000 votes cast. This year, over 6 million votes cast. By the way, the population of the state of Idaho is 1.6 million.
So we have robo voting going on. It's gone viral.
I don't know why you would say robo voting going on. I would just say
because there's a million people in Idaho.
Well, people can vote as much as they want.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I would say that again, when it comes to the Second Amendment, when it comes to girls, you like girls, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to girls with guns, people like their girls with guns, and Ava and Braylon Broen have won the $500 gift certificate to Boise Gun Company, along with a gun safe from Gourmet Grills and Idaho Safe and Vault. So there we have it.
Very
capitalism
good.
At its best. But I would say that that contest is probably the most popular in the country, even though we only have 1.5 million people. I'd put that up against anything that anybody's done. So
yeah,
congratulations
absolutely.
To the winners.
Yeah, and you for this awesome contest.
We have Sierra, number two, Ashley, Aaron, and Emily. Those are the top five, and you can see the top five for yourself at 580kido.com since I just put up the post.
Okay.
So back to the economy here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I want to switch gears on you a little. You know, we're looking at this historic possible flooding of the Boise River
mm-hmm.
in parts of Eagle, parts of Garden City. Heck, they're talking about it could be the 100-year flood or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Economically, how would that impact the area? If, let's say, an Eagle Road or parts of Eagle were closed or Garden City, what would that impact the area greatly?
In the short run, of course, it already is in some businesses, right? With the parking lot flooded, you can't get into some places, ponds overflowing. So it does impact those one-offs. As far as the overall economy, no, Kevin, but to the economy of those particular businesses, you're darn right. It's a big impact, and it'll just get worse. But as far as in the long run, hey, is this going to have any impact? Probably positive as the rebuilding goes on. From anything that's, there's just going to be an awful lot of cleanup, if you will, if we do get more flooding than we have now.
Well, it's a great boom to the folks that renovate your home and
yep.
all those sorts of things. It's been a great run for them. But you take a look at one of the major thoroughfares, if Eagle Road does go down,
mm-hmm.
That could impact business in the Treasure Valley with local governments and such. And you take a look at perhaps people losing their homes.
Well, and they could. And again, the flood's impact from a economic perspective for the whole area versus each individual, two different things, Kevin. Again, it sounds insensitive to say it will have very little impact while you sit there and watch businesses that are closed having a difficult time. That seems insensitive, but the reality is overall, the flooding isn't going to have any major impact on us. Globally, if you will, Idaho globally, it certainly will affect those individuals.
Right, and then you have the government trying to figure these out. But, I mean, economically, we talk about the growth and everything else, but you take a look at our area, and if the river goes, it's going to impact local business. As a local business person,
yeah,
what do you make of that?
Well, I think that they're doing a good job. You mean, what do I make of how well they're doing? Or what's...
Well, just the idea that, you know, we've had such a good run here. Other places have had tornadoes
oh, and yeah.
massive disasters. And here we are, we're worried about this flooding that, other people would probably laugh at, those people that deal with hurricanes a lot.
I think they probably would laugh at all of our concern about a little bit of flooding. They probably would, because you're right. They deal with an awful lot of natural disasters every year.
Right.
It's just a natural flow of life. We don't, and you're right. I think that we do get a little bit fussed up about it. We'll see what happens. My feeling so far is that the Army Corps of Engineers is doing a fabulous job. We've been running the river high for many months now. We all remember in the winter how high it was. It wasn't like this. But and in hindsight, of course, everybody can go back and say they should have run it this high. But we'll wait and see. Kevin, if the water takes some time to come down over the next few weeks, there won't be any major flooding. They'll be able to handle it. The reservoirs will. It's all about whether the weather is going to get particularly warm for an extended period and bring down the water too quick.
Now, let me hit you with this one. Dave Pezzo with us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, host of Money Matters here at 580KIDO. There's a company that we've been talking about called iHeartMedia. They used to own this company called Clear Channel Communications. I used to work for them. Largest radio company, largest media company. They've got over 20-some billion dollars in debt. Okay. They've already told lenders that after, you know, they start the first quarter calls. You're familiar with that, right?
Yeah.
I'm briefly from my time with you and watching CNBC. They've already told investors that they're not going to be able to make their $350 million debt payment. They have $8-point-something billion due in 2 years. So they are already looking at bankruptcy and those things. basically they're threatening lenders by saying, hey, accept this deal or we're going to declare bankruptcy and you're going to get nothing.
Right.
When you have these big companies that have merged and such, and all of a sudden they go down, what does that mean? What does that mean to the industry? What does that mean to the investor? When you have, again, we see them on television all the time with their iHeart conferences and all, and now it looks like they're done.
It does look like they're done, and as you and I have talked about before, certainly we have off air, the radio business has been in an extremely difficult place. It really is. A lot of debt, and Kevin, you and I have been around in radio for long enough to have been through the heyday, if you will, where the merger, you know, you could just bid out, people were just outbidding each other for all these properties, piling up debt, and now we've reached that point where it got too speculative, too much debt was layered on, and there's no way these companies can survive. All that's going to happen, these stations aren't going to go away. All that's going to happen is the valuations for all of the properties are going down. So all across media, all valuations are going down because it is more difficult to sell advertising. It's just not, does not have the cash flow that it once did. Second part is this company is going to go under and the debt holders are going to lose a pile of money. And then new people are going to own the company. That's the way it always works. You know, United Airlines has gone bankrupt two or three times in my lifetime, maybe more, longer term, but certainly two or three times in my lifetime. I still see United airplanes flying around, even when they throw people off the airplane. So no matter what they do, they'll come back. But what happens is they destroy the investors' capital of the prior generation, and then other people who are risk takers come in and say, okay, we'll go ahead and buy it up. And that's what I think is going to happen here, Kevin. They're just going to pick up all of these radio stations again for a much lower price than they are currently valued at. And then they will wipe out the bondholders, et cetera, and we'll start over again and see if they can make a go of it.
Right. It is amazing when you take a look at these things. A lot of people, they merge their companies and they try to grow their way out of debt by acquisitions and cutting personnel and such. But it's fascinating when you see the largest radio company. I mean, they have more debt than Detroit.
Yeah.
which is strange.
That is strange.
You did mention United Airlines. We talked about this last week. Not the stewardess, but that's American Airlines. Have the airlines gone crazy? First, the United dragging that guy out. Second, the American Airlines guy threatening to fight a passenger, I believe allegedly hitting a woman with a stroller, saying, bring it on. Flights are getting more and more stressed.
Yeah.
You're an international traveler when you're not going to exotic destinations like Reno. What what does that – I mean, is it time for some common sense? I know you're not a fan of regulation, of re-regulating the airline industry, but it seems that anything goes.
Well, it does. And, of course, this is all they're going to do is bring it on themselves. We've seen that, for example, in every industry, right? We see it in the financial industry where regulation is brought on because of a few bad actors. And then we all have to fill out endless volumes of paperwork. But in this case, we're talking about people who are on board an airplane. It's crowded. Perhaps they've waited hours in the airport. Perhaps they have to sit by a screaming baby. Nobody's happy. It's a grumpy environment, and it really does need to be handled very delicately by these airlines. I'm sure that on a normal day, this stewardess was or flight attendant was in fact would have handled it fine. But now all of a sudden he can't. He can't handle it because he's having a bad day himself. Whatever, something snaps, and these people are jerks, and he snaps. But they normally do handle thousands and thousands of flights every day without a glitch. So I think, yes, they have to relook at all of the rules and certainly about pulling people off of airplanes. What do we do when somebody acts up? You know, all of those types of things do need to be looked at periodically, Kevin. But if airlines are not able to overbook ever again, if they are regulated to that high a level, then the answer is that most people will not be able to afford to fly, and that is true. And that's fine if people want the old experience that they thought they had before, and they'd come on the airplane, it would be fun, and the flight attendants would give them a meal and all those things, then it's going to cost $1,000 to fly one way. That's what it used to cost, and it'll be there again. So it's a question of what kind of experience we want. My guess is they'll come up with a couple of guidelines, and that's all, because it is important to have as much. I mean, think of all the hotels and restaurants that are really in line if we don't fly that many people around the world.
Coming up next, if the government shuts down, will Dave Pezzo miss it? And will you? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
All right, 580 KIDO, before we get to your phone calls with Dave Pezzo here at 580 KIDO. Dave, it looks like the government could or maybe shut down. Is this a good thing? I know you're a fan of big government.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of big government, and no, it's not a good thing. You don't want to shut it down in the first 100 days, basically, of or roughly speaking, of Trump's administration. Let's get through this, and I'm sure they will, regardless of what compromises have to be made. Just get it done, move on, and let's start governing. And I think it's a very important thing for them to do and not let this thing shut down. And I'm sure the administration will get to whatever, knock whatever heads together they have to make this happen.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you like it when the government shuts down.
Well, normally I do, but it shows us how irrelevant most of government is. But the point is that this would be disruptive to a new administration, and I think it would be the wrong thing, at least for right now.
And all right, let's go to the phones here at 580K. I know you don't have any headphones, so we'll just wing it here.
Okay.
Go to Hank. Hank, just make your statement, and then Dave will respond here at 580K IDO. Good morning, well, Hank.
Good morning. Question number one, if Lund cut the capital gains tax down to very low, to abolish it or down to very low levels, 10%, what would be the effect on the economy? And then my second question real fast is, if a person acquires about $1.5 million, what kind of income should you be able to generate off of that if in wise investment?
Okay, Hank, thank you for the call. Dave Pezzo.
Hey, good questions. First of all, you never know because the economies are dynamic. And I love the way economists will, for example, completely miss how the effect of the Reagan tax cuts, right? And they underestimated the amount of taxes it would generate. The same as the tax increases under Obama just mystified, again, the Congressional Budget Office as to why the revenues weren't larger. In other words, I don't know why it mystifies people, because that if you cut taxes, people work harder, the economy grows, and there's incentive to invest. But it does seem to mystify them. So here's the deal. It does, when you lower taxes, it certainly increases the incentives to invest and to take risk and to try to have returns. And risk returns, meaning I want to invest in, say, a business, and that would generate a capital gain, stocks, those types of things. I want equity. I want to expand businesses. That is an equity ownership, and that would qualify for capital gains. And what you need in a vibrant economy are risk takers, people that are willing to put up a couple hundred thousand dollars, take a shot, and if they don't succeed, they lose it, and on they go. But if they win, we don't want to tax them at such a high rate. That's the positive incentive. So it is great for the economy. Lowering taxes is always. And the second part on $1.5 million.
Well, wait a minute. If we lower taxes, then how are we going to handle the debt?
Well, that's a great question, Kevin, but it's because the economy is the same thing. When Reagan lowered taxes, the tax receipts increased to the shocking surprise of the Congressional Budget Office. Again, economies don't just sit there and like a blackboard and don't react. They do react. You lower the barriers to entry on a business, you increase the incentives to be profitable in that business, and watch what happens. The economy grows and tax receipts actually increase, even though the actual percentage rate goes down. Okay?
Dave Pezzo here with us here at 580KIDO. A little defensive there. By the way, many people are pumped up about Shoshone Falls.
Yes.
We're watching it on Facebook and such, and you had a chance to go there this weekend. How was it?
It was fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. And I'll let people in on a secret. What you want to do is you want to go to Evel Knievel's Jump and walk down. Then you don't have to fight the crowds that are there, and also you get a beautiful and you know, healthy walk down. It's nice, and up, of course. But walking down, you get all kinds of views that are just spectacular. And also you get to take in a historic thing, which is the what's left of the Evel Knievel jump site. But it's spectacular, Kevin. Well worth it. And although Saturday was a horrible windy day here, weird, it was really perfect down in Twin Falls. I've never gone to a place like Twin Falls and not had more wind. It had less this time. This was crazy.
All right, we continue on with Dave Petzo, Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. You know, it's one thing that we really haven't talked about is the rise of Twin Falls. Now,
yeah.
You're not leaving us to move to Twin Falls, are you?
Not a chance.
Almost no. Like you said, I wish.
No.
Okay. And the reason why I say this is, of all the places to be getting a lot of attention from major news media outlets, most notably the New York Times,
yeah,
it's been Twin Falls. And you have some conservative folks that are very, very, very upset about what's going on there with the Chobani factory and everything else. On the other hand, you have Chobani similarly leading an economic growth there with unemployment even lower than it is here.
Yeah.
So what do you make of what's going on there based on your field research there over the weekend?
Well, I was blown away. It's been years since I've been in Twin Falls.
You've driven past it several times.
Not really. Really? Oh, I used to do a lot of work over there.
You don't really go to Salt Lake, so you don't, there's no reason for you to go by Twin Falls.
Correct. If I went to Salt Lake, I'd probably fly. But anyway, that's...
I drive, so...
Well, you know, I spent a couple years in... I'm actually a graduate of Skyline High School in eastern Idaho. So that I kind of get that pit in your stomach. And those people from that part of the state, they know what I'm talking about. You go, yeah, I don't really want to go that way. So I don't. But I used to work down there all the time. And Twin Falls was a very sleepy little place. And I really did go down there 2-3 times per month. And stay overnight and work that whole valley. That's one of the areas I got my start in, and I haven't been back in a while, and it is something else. It is absolutely amazing what's going on down there. I just can't believe the old roads that used to leave, you know, had nobody on them, and, you know, Pole Line Road, things like that, that were just crazy busy now. And so it is, it's amazing how vibrant Twin Falls is, and they are actually doing a big downtown remodel on top of it. So the state, or I should say the city, is all over it. They are obviously very vibrant down there. I don't know why people would be upset about Chobani being down there. They've been a great resurgent for them, and so is Cliff Bar.
So they haven't tried to recruit you?
No, that's not going to be possible. It's windy. It's cold. No, thank you. Most of the time.
Windy and cold here.
They do have Shoshone Falls. That's pretty cool.
They do have that.
Once every 5 years, it flows like this.
And they have one Buffalo Wild Wings, and we have two or three. We have three in the area.
Do we have three?
Yes.
That's, see? Wow.
See, you know about
Shoshone
Falls.
We're three times as good. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Anything we should be looking out for this week?
No, you know, the French elections were, which is really baffling to most people, Kevin. It was a big deal. We're going to open up today. Pretty big. And that's because it went the way they wanted to. And so the people understand what's going on there. It's not over yet. They had a runoff, and we had an extreme left candidate, an extreme right candidate, and a moderate. And you did not want to have the extreme left and the extreme right. At least the markets didn't. And that is not what happened. In fact, the moderate wound up winning the most, along with the extreme right. So now it's down to those two, and most people think that the moderate is going to handily win. So that'll go away. But again, we focus on the day-to-day noise, Kevin, and long-term. Here's what really matters, and this is what's going on here in the United States right now. Corporate profits, that's what matters, and we're having our best quarter in years. Years, like since 2011, the fastest growth in corporate profits, and that's really the mother's milk, if you will, as Kudlow says, of the stock market is corporate profits. And we get focused on all these things like French elections, but the reality is that the underlying effect is that corporations are making more and more and more money all the time. And by the way, can I answer one quick question?
I didn't give you one.
No, but your caller did. We didn't get to question number two. $1.5 million, you ought to be able to draw around 4.5% of that money, maybe even 5% if you do it right. Okay?
Dave Petzo, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Thanks.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. Folks, it is the last days of Mattress Firm's once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get savings of a lifetime on tens of thousands of top-quality mattresses from the best name brands. Kevin Miller here, folks. It is time, if you want to sleep happy and sleep for less, go now to Mattress Firm because they're clearing out tens of thousands of famous name brand floor models and mattresses in stock to make room for the latest in technology and innovation. They all simply must go to make room for the next generation of sleep products. This buying opportunity at Mattress Firm will only last as long as these mattresses are in stock. Once they're gone at Mattress Firm. So, folks, take it from me, Kevin Miller. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to sleep and save like never before while supplies last, only at Mattress Firm. Please tell them Kevin Miller sent you.
Wouldn't it be great if you could stop crying before it happens? With the Ring Floodlight Cam, you can. I'm Jamie Siminoff, inventor and founder of Ring. Floodlight Cam is a motion-activated HD security camera that connects right to your phone, so you're alerted when anyone steps onto your property. You can now see, speak, or even sound an alarm right from your phone, anywhere, anytime. Does your floodlight prevent crime? Ours does. Check out our Ring of Security kits at ring.com/advantage. That's ring.com/advantage.
You've been hearing me talk for a while now about the best steak I have ever had. I told you that I used to travel a lot, get to eat in all the fancy steakhouses all over the country. Sadly, here locally, seems like I always ended up making steaks right on my own deck. Until I found Indian Creek Steakhouse and The Rancher. But I may have been fibbing a little bit. Last week, I stopped in, and before I could get my rancher ordered, Dylan slipped a filet onto my plate. He said, "Try this, I dare you." Well, I did. Now I've got a problem. Good news is, I've got two fabulous steaks to choose from. Bad news is, probably going to need a couple extra days at the gym till I get this sorted out. The Rancher, of course, I've talked about, is a marbled ribeye. Now I've got this filet to deal with. When Dylan put it on my plate, he took my steak knife away. I thought he was crazy, but you guessed it. I cut the thing with a fork. Melted in my mouth. Fabulous, fabulous steak. Indian Creek Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturday, lunch through happy hour, all the way through dinner. In fact, Dylan says we open at 11:30 and we stay open till whenever. Live music on weekends, comedy night, you name it, they've got it. Like them on Facebook to keep up with their schedule, or check them out at IndianCreekSteakhouse.com. Located in downtown Caldwell, Indian Creek Steakhouse.
Recreation season is almost here, and Brett's RV and Marine is having one huge RV and boat show. Now through May 7th, take advantage of preseason savings at the Village at Meridian. It's time to get excited about camping and getting outside. Get exclusive show pricing on a huge selection of travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, toy haulers, and boats. Don't miss your chance to save thousands when you buy at the show. It's the Brett's RV and Marine sale, happening now through May 7th at the Village at Meridian. Visit brettsrv.com to learn more.
The RV Super Sales event is going on now at Dennis Dillon RV or ddrv.com. Choose from thousands of RVs from Idaho's number one motorhome dealer. Travel trailers, fifth wheels, boats, campers, gas and diesel motorhomes. 90 brands, 1,000 choices on 50 acres. Idaho's largest RV site. Unbelievable prices, special financing, bank representatives on site to approve your best deal. No reasonable offer will be refused. The Dennis Dillon RV Super Sale, going on now for a limited time. ddrv.com on I-84 between Cole and Orchard, Boise.
Meridian Auto Ranch Outlet is teaming up to raise money with the Meridian Lions Club this month only. Todd McCurry here, inviting you to take a test drive in any of our high-quality pre-owned vehicles at Meridian Auto Ranch Outlet now through the end of April, and we'll donate $10 for each test drive to the Meridian Lions. Folks, we have hundreds of clean local trade-ins from our new car stores in Mountain Home in Ontario. You've got to see for yourself just how nice these vehicles are. No pressure, no games, no gimmicks, just great values on the area's nicest pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Check out a 2014 Mini Cooper S model in tip-top shape with only 20,000 miles. Or check out our spring selection of American muscle, like an SRT8 Charger, an SS Special Edition Camaro, or a Grand Sport Corvette, and a whole bunch more. If you're in the market for a truck or SUV, come see the area's best selection and test drive without any pressure, and see for yourself how we do business a better way. Help us raise $1,000 or more for the Meridian Lions now through the end of April during our test drive event at Meridian Auto Ranch Outlet, home of the 90-minute car deal on Fairview Avenue in Meridian, or online at Auto Ranch Outlet. Outlet.com.